A Digital Soldier's Oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. Where we go one, we go all.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have what we call citizen journalists. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information, and they did it through social media. You are demonstrating a level of intellectual courage that our country desperately needs.
Six steps to be accomplished. Prior to arrests, they are: ensure safety of population, shift the narrative, resignation, removal of those corrupt in D.C., defeat ISIS, MS-13, Antifa, the paid army of the deep state, and there's many of them, freeze assets, kill off the chain of command. So what would immediately start a war? Well, everything that's being done is to avoid Plan Z if possible. Let's examine where we are in the plan of the six steps listed above. Number one, ensure the safety of the population. Did you ever think the shutdown was in part to prevent false flags, especially at schools? Yes. Why does Trump want schools open right now? Because I do believe he shut a lot of it down, and now it is safe for the children to go back to school. In the beginning stages, I don't think it was going to be safe. Shift the narrative. This has been genius. Just one example. Who was shouting no one is above the law a year ago? Hillary Clinton, the Dems. Now, POTUS, what does he keep saying? Law and order. And actually, Lisa Crowley, who has been censored from Twitter, she's the one that says every time you hear that, it sounds like a cannon going off like the Hunger Games where another individual has been arrested. Removal of those corrupt in D.C. How many people have been removed? Let's take example, the seventh floor. The shadow government is no more. That all has been done. Go after the Islamic State. Check, done. MS-13, done. What's in progress right now? Antifa. They are arresting these individuals. Why did they have to get rid of these individuals? Why did the wall have to go up? Why did Trump launch the mission down in Central America, South America? What was he doing? Think about it for a second. Why does he have federal officers waiting for the right moment in unmarked cars to arrest Antifa? Because that's the paid domestic army of the deep state. So is MS-13. He had to freeze the cabal assets. This was initiated with several executive orders. That has been accomplished. Remember El Chapo? Remember how many drugs they found? Remember how they locked the corrupt politicians and deep state out of everything that they were doing before with the wall, with the funding? All shut down. Let's continue. Kill the chain of command. Why was Antifa allowed to operate? Mapping. It started a long time ago. The mapping has been successful. Trump right now is in the middle of killing off the chain of command. All these things, all these steps were needed for us to move forward. And remember, the mapping was to map those who control Antifa. And remember when Don Jr. tweeted out, just do it, because they're promising we will know soon who's connected, who's tied to Antifa, politicians, elites, and so forth. So they've been removing the domestic army, mapping how these individuals get paid. They know a lot about Antifa. Remember when they said, okay, Antifa, they are a terrorist organization. This was done on purpose because the U.S. is in a state of declared war on terror. We have been since 2001. Trump use this against the deep state. Remember, they did this, and I'm talking about the deep state, to have us give up our rights. 9/11, all the shootings, everything. Because we will protect you. Just give up your rights. Give up your guns. We will protect you. So under this blanket of terror, Trump was allowed to say Antifa is a terrorist organization. Its members are considered enemy combatants. Just ask Lindsey Graham when he was questioning Justice Kavanaugh. Enemy combatants with no rights of habeas corpus. Subject to military arrest tribunals under the law armed conflict. That's exactly what this was all about. He's going to tie all of this to the elites, to the politicians. Think about what's happening here. And then Bruno Zero Barking says, addendum, this is the best description I found on how POTUS Bar Esper were able to accomplish kill off the chain of command. Now, this thread was from Soul War. And this is what it reads. On Wednesday, June 3rd, AG Barr revealed to the press and to the people in D.C. that he and President Trump, what they have done to foil their insurrection and hopes for a Kent State 2.0 where protesters would die at the hands of the U.S. military in a severe crackdown. The stage was set by the Democratic governors and mayors, a perfect storm of chaos that would force Trump to act arbitrarily where Americans were going to get killed. Now, we discussed this many times before. This is exactly what they wanted to happen because they wanted people to die. An insurrection. They wanted to take over the White House, but it failed. Let me hope the pandemic will collapse the nation. Nope. They tried to collapse the nation with lockdowns. Nope. Now comes their long-planned insurrection. Failed. You just witnessed a foreign influencer, communist, last desperate gasp. These individuals, they don't understand Trump. They don't understand the American people. These enemies don't understand what Americans will do to keep their country. We're nothing like them. Remember, Secretary Pompeo warned our governors months ago. We read your emails. We know what you've been doing. Now would be a great time to end your relationship with the CCP. So they tried an insurrection. They're using BLM protests as cover, with anywhere from 200 to 400 foreign terrorists attacking us on our soil nationwide. All it took was three determined Americans unafraid to find a solution and defend America. Stability and prosperity are going to come back roaring as Americans' enemies grind their teeth in useless rage. Everything that these individuals tried to do, everything that they were pushing, has been failing. Actually, what Trump and his team are doing, they're leading these foreign influences, the deep state players, down this path on purpose. And it has to be done this way. Because this is not just about arresting a couple of people. This is not just about winning the next election. This is about exposing it all. It's all or nothing. You can't go halfway, you can't go quarter of the way. It's all or nothing. Because if they do not get it all, we're not going to win. We will not be able to take back the country. The arrest of Hillary Clinton, the arrest of Obama, it's not enough. The American people need to see this. The American people need to experience this. The American people need to understand this. Because moving forward, if they do not understand this, if they don't understand what's going on, this will just be repeated. So moving forward right now, we know that they've been removing the blocks, removing the paid mercenary soldiers, removing the chain of command, removing all of this on purpose, leaving those individuals completely exposed. And this is why they continually drip out this information. This is why you see patriots around the country rising up, because the silent majority is starting to realize the fire inside of each and every person, well, it's been lit. And inside, the fire is growing. Some people, yes, I understand, they will not wake up until the very, very end. And there's nothing you can do about that. But the majority of the people who work hard, who have their own businesses, who go to work, support their families, who want a better life for their families, they understand. They know that this cannot happen in this country. And this is about exposing all of this. But to expose it, you need to remove the blocks. You need to remove the paid mercenary domestic forces. You need to expose all of it so people can actually see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, experience it. And this is exactly what they're doing right now. It might look horrible. You might be sick of it, but it has to be done. Because really, there is no other way. America needed to be woken up. And this is why this is the Great Awakening. This will continue until election time. And the deep state, they will push their false flags. They will push their events. They will do everything they possibly can. As we get closer and closer to the elections, they're going to become more and more desperate. And this is what Trump, his team, this is what they want. Because when you become more and more desperate, you show your hand. You do stupid things. You do it out of anger, out of frustration. You do it because you're desperate. And once they go over that line, it will be game over.
Is this a sore throat? Is this just allergies? Caught in a lockdown. No escape from reality. Don't touch your eyes. Just hand sanitize quickly. I'm just a poor boy. No job security. Because of easy spread. Even though washed your hands laying low. Look out the window. The cure doesn't look flatter to me. Mama, just kill the man. I didn't stay inside my bed. I walked by him, now he's dead. Mama, life was so much fun, but now I've got this unforgiven claim. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make them die. If I'm not carry on.
douche, what a douche. Did he ever wash his hands though?
Security is tightening, very, very frightening me.
Just a poor boy facing mortality.
He's just a poor boy facing mortality. Spending his life on this monstrosity.
Touch your face, wash your hands. Will you wash your hands?
Bismillah.
No, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah. We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah. We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Never, 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 never.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, wash your hands.
COVID-19 has a sickness put aside for me, for me, for me.
So you think you can stop me and just shake my hand?
Sure about everything right now. I was just on the phone with my sister a minute ago, and I told her, I said, when the Lord spoke to me about 6 months ago, he said that Satan's pastors have been activated and the hordes of chaos have been released. Man, he was not joking when he said
that. Not joking.
Because today's been a horrendous day for me. And I mean, and I told my sister this on the phone, I said, every area of someone's soul, basically, or their spirit that has not been submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ is being activated right now. And you're seeing this in people. People are getting irritable. They're getting angry. They're lashing out. I'm talking Christians, people who call themselves Christians now. And now, again, we've all got thrones in our soul, so to speak, that have never been submitted. It's not been washed in the blood. It's not been repented for, whatever the case may be. And or washed in the washing of the word, you know what I mean? We have to submit those thrones of our soul, so to speak, submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you don't do that, they're activated through times like this, Chris. Chris, everybody's getting squeezed right now.
Absolutely, buddy.
Everybody's getting squeezed right now. You know, we've got things going on that we've never had happen in the history of the United States, basically. We got a lockdown going on. People are having a hard time going out and getting groceries, or they may be in a state that a mayor or a governor right now that's a tyrannical type mayor or governor.
That's right.
That's trying to issue things that shouldn't be done. That's anti-constitutional or going against the Constitution. And so, there's just a lot going on right now. And this is not a time to be lashing out at others right now. This is a time for maturity, especially if you call yourself a Christian. If you call yourself an army of God, you better be walking it out cleaner and better than the next guy. And I'm not saying we're not all perfect because we all make mistakes. That's not what we're talking about here. But it's the lashing out that I'm seeing from people who call themselves Christians that just are not even having any regard right now for another person. And it is just, it's incredible to me. I mean, we're not just talking about the emails here. I'm talking texts.
Exactly.
I'm talking emails. I'm talking tweets. I'm talking whatever it is, phone calls. You know, I mean, I'm seeing, we're even seeing family members you know, that aren't acting correctly right now. You know, it's like this, the spiritual squeeze is being put on people right now. And here's the other thing. This is supposed to be a reset. This is a reset spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially, Chris. We are in like Moses and the Israelites. Me and you talked about this on the phone the other day. That this is like the Israelites in the wilderness. And there's a process that God is taking people through right now. And you can either submit to the process through this squeezing of the Holy Spirit, if you will, this refiner's fire, or you can fight it. And the ones that are fighting it, you can see, because those are the ones that are lashing out. Those are the ones that you're getting the nasty tweets from. Those are the ones you're getting the nasty emails or phone calls from. Those are the ones fighting the process that God has for people, Chris. And so you can either go along with the process and complete the test right now, or you can grumble, gripe, complain, in which case you're going to go around this mountain again.
That's right.
Sooner or later, you're going to go around this mountain again. I'm not going around this mountain again. I don't know about you.
No.
I want to complete this thing the first time around. So there is a process that's taking place, a process of maturity, a refiner's fire that's taking place in this reset, because God's seeing right now who he can trust in the battle and who he cannot. You're finding out.
Great point.
Me and you are finding out.
Yes,
who
we are.
Who we trust in this battle and who we cannot. We're finding it, and you're gonna. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes there's a separating that goes on. There's a further separating of the wheat and the chaff that's going on right now from those that are part of God's army, who are mature, and those that are going to be stuck in it. They may be in the boat, like we talked about the World War II stuff, where they're approaching the beach, landing craft. Some might be in a landing craft. Some might be stuck on that boat and are seasick. They're being cast to and fro because all they can see is the storm right now. The storm. That's all they can see. And those are the ones that aren't mature enough right now. So God's doing a work, and if you fight the process, it's just going to be that much harder, guys.
Absolutely, Mark. And let me just say this. One of the earmarks of that generation that you're talking about was a grumbling, murmuring spirit. It didn't matter what God did. When they cried out for manna, sent food. He said, I'm hungry. So God sent manna. What did they do? They complained about the manna. They cried, I'm thirsty. God said, hey, go to that rock. Tell Moses, hit that rock. Water gushed out. Were they thankful about it? Nope. They murmured about the water. And it just seemed like time after time after time, there was about 10 times in that wilderness experience that Israel murmured against God. And Mark, I told you this the other day on the phone, of all the sins, of all the things. And look, God does not have a category in his notebook up in heaven that some sins are worse than others. We're all sinners, and any disobedience to God is not good. But there are some things that grates on God deeper. And I personally believe that this murmuring, complaining, never content spirit that is evident, and it is exploding in this country right now. Not being exposed, our media is like this, our politicians are like this, church people are like this, Christians pastors. Are like this, pastors, all of them. And this irritable spirit, this complaining, griping, nothing is right spirit, I do believe that this is part of this process that God is putting us all through. And buddy, you said it.
The Durham investigation into the origins of the Russia probe is coming to an end, and the report may be out soon. Trump has been given a preview of their findings and shared a little bit about it during a phone interview with Lou Dobbs. He described it as breathtaking. The Washington Examiner reports, Trump, John Durham has uncovered breathtaking evidence of spying. U.S. Attorney John Durham has uncovered breathtaking evidence about corrupt origins of the Russia investigation, according to President Trump. He told Fox Business host Lou Dobbs on Tuesday that he believes that the federal prosecutor is conducting a criminal inquiry into the Russia investigation that will show members of the Obama administration maliciously targeted him and his campaign. We caught them spying. Now it's up to our attorney general. As you know, I wanted them to do it. I didn't want to get overly involved. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but I do hear it's breathtaking what they've found, Trump said. That's all I can say. Breathtaking. And hopefully, it'll come out soon. But it's beyond what anybody ever thought even possible, how bad it is. How bad it is and how corrupt it is. But I'm going to let them do that. I'm not going to do that. It's a horrible thing that took place, and it should never be allowed to happen to another president. Trump said, while much speculation inside the Beltway says U.S. Attorney John Durham will punt the results of his so-called Spygate investigation past the election to avoid charges of political interference. Sources who have worked with Durham on past public corruption cases doubt he'll bend to political pressure, and they expect him to drop bombshells before Labor Day, which is September 7. Durham's boss, Attorney General Bill Barr, also pushed back on the notion his hand-picked investigator would defer action. Under Democratic questioning on Capitol Hill last week, he refused to rule out a pre-election release. Under oath, do you commit to not releasing any report by Mr. Durham before the November election? Representative Debbie Mucasel Powell, Democrat Florida, asked Barr, citing the long-standing Justice Department policy not to announce new developments in politically sensitive cases before an election. No, the Attorney General curtly replied. Justice Department policy prohibits prosecutors from taking overt steps in politically charged cases typically within 60 days of an election. Accordingly, Durham would have to make a move by the Friday before Labor Day, or September 4. A low-profile prosecutor, Durham has kept a tight lid on his investigation into the origins of the specious Russiagate investigation of Donald Trump and his 2016 campaign, leading to rampant speculation about who he might prosecute and whether he would take action ahead of the November 3 presidential election. That could well be of historic consequence, since his probe involves both the Trump administration and high-level officials in the previous administration, including Trump's presumptive Democratic rival, former Vice President Joe Biden. Recently declassified FBI notes show Biden offered input into the investigation of Trump advisor Michael Flynn in early January 2017. Another declassified document reveals that Biden was among those who requested Flynn's identity be unmasked in foreign intelligence intercepts around that same time. If Durham announces criminal indictments or plea agreements involving former officials operating under the Obama-Biden administration or releases a report documenting widespread corruption, independent voters could sour on Biden and sympathize with Trump. On the other hand, kicking the ball past the election could dispirit Trump's base. I would find it hard to believe that he punts under any circumstances, said former Assistant FBI Director Chris Swecker, who knows Durham personally and has worked with the hard-nosed prosecutor on prior investigations. He pointed out that Durham would risk throwing away 16 months of investigative work if he delayed action beyond the election. There's no question that if Biden is elected, everything Durham has done at that point will be cancelled out, Swecker explained, adding that Biden would replace Barr and possibly even Durham. But by putting indictments and reports into the public arena before the election, Durham would put a Biden administration in the position of either taking further action or closing down his probe. It would make it very difficult for Biden's appointees to undo his charges or bury the results of his probe, he said. John knows this and I fully expect he will take action before the election. Swecker, who's also a former prosecutor, anticipates Durham will deliver criminal charges, a written report or some combination of the two around the first week in September, if not sooner. He must get his work done and out to the public by Labor Day, he said. That way he avoids any accusations that he was trying to impact the election. Democracy 21, a liberal Washington watchdog group, has already cited the department policy in recent complaints to Barr demanding he suspend Durham's investigation and place on hold any further actions or public comments about it until after the election. If Barr allows indictments from the Durham investigation to come out during the presidential election campaign, he would be abandoning long-standing DOJ policy by misusing the department's prosecutorial power to support Trump's re-election campaign, Democracy 21 President Fred Wertheimer argued. Swecker, who served 24 years with the FBI before retiring as assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division, said he expects Durham to take more action than just issuing a report similar to the 500-page document issued in December by Justice's Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. The IG made criminal referrals to Durham, including against an FBI attorney accused of altering evidence used to support a surveillance warrant on a former Trump advisor. I know John Durham. I worked under him on the Whitey Bulger case, which resulted in indictments of corrupt FBI agents, Swecker said. I don't think he's the least bit squeamish about bringing indictments if there is criminal exposure. Swecker says he's confident Durham has uncovered crimes. He's onto something, I'm convinced of it, otherwise he would have folded up his tent by now, he asserted in a Real Clear Investigations interview. The lack of media leaks coming from Durham's office is another sign he is building a serious corruption case, Sweker said. Targets and witnesses have largely been kept in the dark about the scope and direction of his investigation, encouraging cooperation and possible plea deals. And the secrecy of grand jury proceedings has been fiercely protected. I'm impressed with the discipline his team has shown, Sweker said. There's been no leaks. The investigation has been very closely held. Durham, a Republican, has been known to threaten to polygraph investigators whenever he suspected a leak. His team is led by his deputy, Nora Danihi, who specializes in the prosecution of complex white-collar and public corruption cases. A Democrat with a reputation for integrity, she left a high-paying corporate job to rejoin Durham's office in March 2019. The month after Barr was confirmed. Barr officially announced in May 2019 that he had put Durham in charge of looking into what he called the government's spying on the Trump campaign in 2016. Was that surveillance justified, or was it done to smear Trump and sink his campaign? And when that failed, his presidency, Durham is exploring a host of other questions, including, what role did the CIA play? Did it monitor Trump advisors overseas? Were U.S. laws restricting spying on U.S. citizens broken? Did the spy agency slant U.S. intelligence on Russian election interference to justify the anti-Trump operation? As a former CIA analyst, Barr recognized that this is the biggest thing since Watergate in terms of the abuse of the intelligence community.
I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat. Provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. But he just acts like he's entitled, even tried to unionize the cat. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat. He chewed up the Constitution on display, and every time Benghazi's on TV, he looks the other way.
What difference at this point does it make?
I know he's a liberal, even if he won't admit it. He pooped on my living room rug and tried to tell me George Bush did it. He ain't got no papers, and what really gets my goat is if he could find a ride to town, well, I know they'd let him vote. Well, sure, we've had some good times, and he's been fun to have around. Ever barks about my right to bear arms, I'm gonna have to have him put down.
It talks about bringing up, you know, vaccines and new viruses and so forth. So then with this event 201 back in October, where, you know, this group got together in this secret meeting to role play what this COVID coronavirus would look like. I mean, they had this all planned, Mark. This is nothing new.
It was all part of the depopulization agenda is what this is all about, the Bill Gates stuff. So,
right.
Yeah. So, but look, justice is coming to these people.
Yes.
It's not coming. It's already here. And again, we've said time and time again, if you don't have a stomach for justice, you better get it quick, because justice can sometimes get ugly.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about there's going to be suicides, there's going to be executions, there's going to be people going to prison. This is their apocalypse right now, not ours. And so, you know, I don't think it's coincidence that Pelosi the other day, I tweeted this out like 4 days ago. Pelosi says twice in a week about poison pills in the bill. POTUS says there could be a lot of suicides coming.
Yeah.
She's giving comms to them that their time is up. There's no getting out of this. Those, and I said to those she's speaking to, repent. The one you serve is coming for his dues, basically.
That's
so
right.
I think that's not a coincidence. She talks about poison pills a couple of times in that bill. And I don't know if that's pretend, like code for cyanide or whatever it is. And then why would the president be saying a couple of times, there could be a lot of suicides? He didn't say some,
exactly.
He said a lot.
Exactly.
So again, you know, this is justice in its forms right now. You know, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. It's on earth as it is in heaven. We're bringing the throne of God down to earth right now. This is justice being done right now on the earth. So, I mean, this stuff's going to get a little bit nasty before it gets better. So people just better get ready.
Yep, buckle down. Yep, be locked and loaded
buckle
with
up.
The word of God. That's for sure. You know,
yep.
And two, one thing that we saw today by Celine Dion, evidently on Twitter, she stated that yep. It was her birthday. But she was saying, oh, and I just want to tell everybody goodbye. You know,
right,
so
right.
People were writing back, is she like committing suicide? But you're hearing from all these other, you know, cabal.
Strange comms, very strange comms.
Yes, across the board. I mean, then you have Comey in this tunnel. You know, I mean, that was eerie looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you've got comms going back and forth real quick because they're panicking. They know their time is coming to an end. There's no stopping what's coming.
No, not
and
at all.
And look, I don't know. Are they going to make the mass arrest? Are we going to find out they made the mass arrest after April 10th, after the Easter? And so I got to put this out to people. It's like, look, don't have unrealistic expectations right now. We can't go there right now. You know, if they don't say Hillary's been arrested or Obama's been arrested, the ones they want to hear, people are going to get mad, say, I'm going to stop following Q or I'm stop following this person or that following. You know what I mean? So it's like, have realistic expectations. We may not find out about this for another month after it happens. I personally think, just my humble opinion, I'm not prophesying this, I think some of these people have already been arrested, that they're already squawking, that they're already working with the government right now to help take down others inside the deep state. But that's just me. That's just my opinion. And so, you know, again, we just have to be careful with our unrealistic expectations. And so at some point they will disclose this. And so they're gearing up for something. Why else would they be gearing up for this when this virus is not as bad as what the mainstream media is saying it is? Why are they doing this? Because I believe it's disclosure. That's just me. I could be wrong, but I think that's what some of this is about.
Yeah, I believe that too. You know, I look back at the plan of, again, the Rockefeller plan here, you know, just like the Muslim Brotherhood, they have a 100-year plan. But then I look back at the plan that the White Hats had in regards to President Trump. I mean, you know, how many years ago, 1999, 98 or whatever, where, you know, that they needed somebody that wouldn't bend, that wasn't like the rest, you know, that knew even the bankruptcy realm, you know, for the Federal Reserve, you know, bringing it down to zero. I mean, there's so many aspects. And you look at this and how, you know, the plan, trust the plan and Q, and we trust the plan in God. Because God ultimately planned this whole thing. He ordained and appointed and anointed Donald Trump for this right. season. Hallelujah, for the divine reset of all this evil. And there is a great, just like what you were talking about, Mark, in regards to the adrenochrome, them with the cannibalism and eating the babies and all that stuff. This stuff is real. And there is a site out there on YouTube, Fall Cabal, and there's like a 10 video series that goes into the very beginning to the end, and the end is good. The end just shows you about the reset and everything. It just gives you a lot of detail for those that are still wondering if this is true. It is. It's
well,
here. The storm's here, Mark.
The storm is here, I believe. And so, you know, when you look at this, there was a gentleman who tweeted this out. Because there was a lot of, they had stopped a couple of shipments of adrenochrome going to northern Canada, or up in Canada.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, there was a highway patrolman that had actually put that out. And they figured this out, this gentleman did here and his wife, and they calculated how much this so-called dried adrenochrome shipment was worth. And he says, I've never been so disgusted. My wife just did calculations on that dried adrenochrome shipment that was purportedly seized by U.S. officials. And he says, 10 cc's of adrenochrome equals one child's life. 20 kilogram shipments per package equals 2,000 child's lives. 15 packages times 20 kilograms equals 30,000 child's lives. This is what they've been doing, guys. I know that's again, this is the kind of stuff that people are going to have a hard time when they disclose this. But, you know, this stuff is real. It's like Epstein and Epstein Island. What were they doing in the tunnels underneath the island? You know, they were cannibalism, running kids, trafficking kids, you know, raping and torturing the kids, drinking the blood, eating the kids. You know, all these different things are going on. These are the things that people are going to have a hard time, when they find out who's been involved. You know, some of your favorite movie stars, some of your favorite rock stars, some of your favorite country stars, all this Illuminati stuff, it's all going to come out at some point, you know, and then now they probably won't disclose all of it because, I mean, that would put 90% of people too much. So it'd probably have a drip effect. You know, they'll start soft disclosure on a lot of this stuff, which you're already seeing taking place right now. But again, there's a lot of good that's going to come out of this because where did the virus start? It started in Wuhan, right? Supposedly, right?
Right.
Wuhan has an adrenochrome factory in Wuhan. And some of the theories was the fact that they had tainted the adrenochrome supply with a marker so that they would know who actually got it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That was some of the theories that were out there. But, you know, why did this virus start in Wuhan? Well, we really don't know. You know, there's a bunch of different theories out there. But one of the things that's happening right now in China, right now, that we're not hearing about, and here was a reporter that reported this from out of there, or I think she was a reporter. She says, lots of videos here and on Twitter. She says, fights burst out when people from Hubei, I guess that is, not allowed to enter. She says, my prediction is the CCP will lose centralized control over China soon. And there's pictures of people rioting and basically turning cars over. Wow. The Chinese people have had it with the CCP. CCP is about as evil as you can get. You know, the Chinese Communist Party. And so that's what's happening. And I tweeted out, I said, is this the end of an evil regime? Is God about to free the spiritually oppressed people of China? I believe he is. This is an exciting time to be alive. And again, why are we seeing these things taking place across the earth? Because the truth is coming forth. Yes. People have had enough. Enough is enough. And they're taking their countries back. It doesn't matter what country it is. We've seen it with North Korea. We're starting to see it with Iran. We're seeing it with China. We saw it with Venezuela. So all these things are taking place. Why? So the gospel of Jesus Christ can go throughout the entire earth so that spiritually oppressed can be set free. That's what this is all about. Right now, we're in this transition period. We're coming to the climax of this thing because, again, it's like we're dealing with a wounded, cornered animal right now, and they're going to come out swinging. And so this is another reason why the president has locked things down to a point, and people have to understand this is not just about the virus. This is about keeping people safe from retaliation from the deep state. They don't want someone walking into a football stadium or a football game or a church and clacking off a vest and killing 500 to 1,000 people. So it's more than just protecting people about the virus. It's about protecting people from deep state retaliation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've heard too from several people, I mean, even ministers out there that are freaking out in regards to, and I'm going to go back to what you said, in regards to the military personnel being activated as well as the tanks and armored vehicles going through to different states. And I believe Panama City and Florida or Pensacola, one of those. And what they're depicting, because see, again, we talked about discernment before the broadcast, that we so need discernment in this time. And I believe a lot of people are thinking that, oh my gosh, are we going to be at war?
Right.
But this is a different type of war, isn't it?
Different type of war. And look, I want to caution people about this because there's some alternative sites out there. I'm not going to name names, who about a few months ago were saying the UN was going to invade America, and they were that you had all these videos of tanks and armored vehicles on rail cars. Well, here they come again. Now that the coronavirus, because the military has been activated, here comes the videos of the tanks and the armored personnel vehicles. Look, take a deep breath, because a lot of these tanks are maybe older tanks. They could be shipping them to get refurbished on rail cars. That's not the only way they can ship these things. You can't drive a tank down the highway, for crying out loud. So they got to ship them somehow. And so, you know, it's like, come on, man. You know, we got to use discernment here. We got to use, you know, wisdom here. You know, a lot of them could be transported to a certain area for training grounds, like in Southern California, where they train with a lot of these things. So, you know, again, just because you see something like that doesn't mean you got to post it on social media and help with the panic. This is where we have to be careful. You know, so again, it could be training, it could be refurbished, it could be going to get fixed. I mean, whatever it is, there's a multitude of reasons why they're transporting these things around the country, guys. Now, some of these armored personnel vehicles, yeah, they could be used in riot control. Absolutely. I don't think you're going to see tanks rolling down I-75 in Florida or something like that. I don't see it happening. I'm sorry. You know?
Swecker said, this is a huge, huge intelligence scandal. Swecker named former FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith among officials most vulnerable to possible criminal charges in Durham's investigation of the investigators. Justice's watchdog made a criminal referral pertaining to his conduct, specifically, that Kleinsmith forged an email in a way that hid the fact that former Trump advisor Carter Page had been a cooperating CIA source on Russia. The information, if disclosed to the FISA court, would have weakened the FBI's case that Page was a Russian agent. On the other hand, Swecker does not expect Durham to indict former FBI Director James Comey, nor former CIA Director John Brennan or Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. None of these central figures in the scandal has been interviewed by Durham's office, according to recently published reports, though Durham reportedly is working out details with Brennan's lawyer for a pending interview. Durham's investigators have already reviewed Brennan's emails, call logs, and other records. It's hard to prove criminal intent at their level, and unless there's a smoking gun, like an email or text, they'll probably get off with a damning report about their activities, Swecker said. Durham's portfolio also includes exploring the extent to which Ukraine played a role in the counterintelligence operation directed at the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. Officials from Kiev, the Democratic National Committee and the Obama administration reportedly coordinated efforts to dig up dirt on Trump, and Biden was Obama's point man in Ukraine at the time. Though Biden may factor into Durham's probe, don't expect him to appear in any pre-election report. Another longtime Durham colleague noted that political candidates cannot be part of indictments or any report on investigative findings. According to Barr's own rules, the policy says you can't indict political candidates or use overt investigative methods targeting them in the weeks before an election, said the former federal prosecutor, who requested anonymity. Barr has publicly acknowledged the policy. The idea is you don't go after candidates, he said in an April radio interview. You don't indict candidates or perhaps someone that's sufficiently close to a candidate within a certain number of days before an election. The former prosecutor, who's worked with Durham, said his old colleague may start revealing developments from his case weeks in advance of the 60-day cutoff, or ideally right after the political conventions. The GOP convention, which follows the Democrats' gathering, ends August 27. They are nervous about affecting the election, so timing is everything, he said. It will be tricky. At the same time, the former justice official said Durham could exploit a loophole in the department rule, memorialized in memos dating to 2008, that allows for action closer to the election. It states that law enforcement officers and prosecutors may never select the timing of investigative steps or criminal charges for the purpose of affecting any election, or for the purpose of giving an advantage or disadvantage to any candidate or political party. Such a purpose is inconsistent with the department's mission. The operative phrase, for the purpose of, leaves leeway for actions close to an election that aren't taken for the purpose of affecting the election. In other words, Durham wouldn't necessarily have to lie low for the 2 months in the run-up to the election. Testing that loophole with an October surprise would almost certainly send Democrats and the Washington media into high dudgeon. Some are skeptical Durham will deliver it all, regardless of the deadline, while others question his reputation as a fierce prosecutor. They point to his nearly three-year investigation of CIA officials who destroyed videos of terrorist detainees allegedly being tortured. Congress had sought the evidence, but Durham closed the case in 2012 without filing any criminal charges, and his final report about what he found remains classified. In a 2018 criminal case, moreover, he cleared Comey's general counsel, James Baker, of unauthorized leaks to the media. The Senate's top FBI watchdog, Chuck Grassley, has grown frustrated with Durham's lack of progress. Durham should be producing some fruit of his labor, The Iowa Senator groused in a recent tweet. Swecker attributes the sluggish pace of Durham's sprawling probe to the COVID-19 health scare, which has restricted travel and grand jury meetings in the D.C. area. Durham's team of investigators, who include retired FBI agents, has been operating out of his New Haven, Connecticut, offices. Besides Washington, they have taken trips abroad. Before the coronavirus outbreak, they interviewed authorities and other sources in Italy, Britain, and Australia. In addition, Durham's agents have been slowed by an avalanche of subpoenaed electronic media, including emails, texts and direct messages, which are incredibly difficult and time-consuming to sort through, Swecker said. Such evidence is not limited to FBI, Justice and CIA officials. Durham also has reportedly obtained, for instance, data and metadata contained on two BlackBerry cell phones used by Joseph Mifsud, a shadowy Maltese professor who some believe was used by the FBI to create a predicate to open the original case against the Trump campaign. During last week's House hearing, Representative Tom McClintock, Republican California, asked Barr if he would be able to right this wrong against Trump before the election. "I really can't predict that," the attorney general answered. "John Durham is looking at all these matters. COVID did delay that action for a while, but he's working very diligently," added Barr. "Justice is not something you can order up on a schedule like you're ordering a pizza." McClintock warned Barr that if he is succeeded by a Biden appointee, Durham's investigation will simply go away. "I understand your concern," Barr said.
Something is going on. Some of us see it, some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself. Let me tell you a story. For a very long time, our world has been under the growing influence of a vast transgenerational criminal mafia that was able to rise up to the highest levels of power. We didn't know because they talked and acted just like you and me. We thought we could recognize true criminals by their words and actions, but were deceived by their sophisticated speech, wealth, education, beauty, and power. Through a system of threats, blackmail, and bribery, they would come to occupy the highest levels of power in government, corporations, and education. You may know them as the Deep State, or Cabal. Most dangerously of all, they achieved almost total influence over the media, their primary means of controlling the good people of the world who were just trying to get on with living. They used this power to slowly convince us that we were the problem, that we were a threat to each other. They used race, gender, and religion to set us apart, and rewrote history to validate these false claims. They funded both sides of wars just to crush our potential to prosper and succeed as a peace-loving and creative force of good for the world. Now, with their firm grasp on the media, we drank in their entertainment and lies as they began their final phase, the total takedown of America. We were the brightest remaining beacon of freedom and humanity's last hope. They knew that if they could take America, the rest of the world would follow. They cut deals that led us to hand over total control of the money system to a private central bank, the Federal Reserve. This made it possible to influence Washington, D.C., and most of our presidents since then were beholden to the criminals in one way or another.
Some media outlets describing Kamala Harris as a centrist Democrat. Here, in fact, ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
Kamala Harris comes from the middle of the road, moderate wing of the Democratic Party, not the first choice of progressives, but Joe Biden banking that this historic move as the first woman of color on a national ticket will overcome that.
The New York Times also getting some blowback after calling Harris a pragmatic moderate, and a Washington Post op-ed even called her a small C conservative pick. However, according to a GovTrack analysis, Kamala Harris was rated the most liberal U.S. senator last year, outranking Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted this: the fake news media giving Harris a free pass despite her radical left failures and very poor run in the Democratic primary. There was nobody meaner or more condescending to Slow Joe, not even me, and yet she quickly evaporated down to almost zero in the polls. Bad. I want to bring in now former Arkansas governor and Fox News contributor Mike Huckabee. So, Governor, as we look at what's kind of rolling out this week and what's shaping up to be the details about Kamala Harris, what do you make of it all?
Well, honestly, Harris, if Kamala Harris is somewhat a moderate or even a conservative, when she's more liberal than Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, that would make me a unicorn, by example. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it's interesting, the progressives don't think she's progressive enough, but she's the most progressive liberal member in the entire U.S. Senate. So it makes you wonder, what do the real leaders and the folks calling the shots of the Democratic Party, what is it that they want? Somebody with an official communist card? I'm being half facetious, but you can't get more liberal than Kamala Harris. But you got to remember that she's become that because at one time when she was the prosecutor, she wasn't quite so liberal. So I think what we have in her is a person who will do whatever she needs to do, say whatever she needs to say in order to get the levers of power. That's dangerous for the country.
Can I ask you about a little bit of strategic risk, if there is any, to Republicans trying to paint her too far left for part of the reason that you just mentioned, but also, you know, Biden and Harris are going to have a problem scooping up the far left of their own party. We've already seen that, right? And so does it give her more street cred with those more progressives? If you label her that way, you might drive some of that base to say, oh, well, maybe we should. If they don't like her, maybe they're right. Maybe she's more left like they are.
Well, I think we ought to let her own comments and her voting record speak for who she is. And I'm fine if they end up deciding that she's exactly what they wanted. That means that they want open borders. They want higher taxes. They want mobs to control our streets. They want domestic abuse, terrorists, and illegals to be let off a bus. I mean, they're taking the sides of domestic abuse over law enforcement. How much nuttier can you get? Harris, that doesn't represent the rank-and-file mainstream Democrats of America. I may be a Republican, I'm no Democrat, but I don't find that what I would call the rank-and-file Democrats are that nutty. And by the way, there are 80 million gun owners of America, and a bunch of them are Democrats. Mm-hmm. In fact, 34% of the NRA members in America, they're Democrats.
Yep.
So let them keep talking this stuff. It's not going to work well for them.
You are spitting out those statistics that we talk about here at 1 o'clock a lot. It is an interesting juxtaposition when you look at where Democrats want to talk about those issues and where some of their rank and file, if you will, really are. President Trump says the feds will be sending 100.
May God bless America.